This Saturday of the sixth week, we have Mark 9. You just heard it, the story of the Transfiguration. It's the moving on after the prediction of the Passion, the first one, which was just a little bit earlier in the Gospel. And this is to strengthen the faith of the disciples. Now Jesus is beginning to speak of what's going to happen. In keeping with what we've been doing, I'm going to talk a little bit about James 3. This is 3, 1 to 10. And you just heard it. The first advice is, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you realize that we will be judged more strictly. It's a dangerous occupation because you're talking all the time. And if you're talking all the time, you're going to slip. So it's not it's a tough job. And he's talking about teaching, not just algebra or something, you know, but teaching. And I know there are professors who teach well when they teach their topic, but they make these wisecracks, sometimes cutting down the church, they're going to hear from the Lord about that, because that destroys the faith of their students. Then, if anyone does not fall short in speech, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. Now, it's important to look, you know, remember our Lord's words. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth is not the problem. The heart is the problem. And if we speak a lot, sooner or later, what's in the heart will come out. That's where gossip, anger, backbiting, slander, detraction, that's where it all comes from. So the problem is the heart. And he's saying that. But he has this, some of these are classic images from the reflection of the philosophers of the day. If you want to ruin any body of people, a community, a town, whatever, just let your tongue loose. And that'll do it. Because you see, as he says, it's a little flame, but it can be a huge fire. Why? Oh dear. If we hear, oh, this person is great, they're holy, they're doing well, they're great in their family, we say, oh, that's nice. This person's doing bad, oh, what'd they do? See how mixed up we are? I don't want to know what they're doing. You see how it's deep in us. And that's why he says, if somebody doesn't sin with their tongue, they're perfect. Because all those unruly passions and drives inside of them have been brought under the authority of the Holy Spirit. So that what this person says is considered. Now, how does anybody get like? Well, part of it is practice. But part of it is prayer, mostly prayer. Because in prayer, our hearts can be purified. And it's from a pure heart that there is righteous speech. That means when I have feelings of anger about somebody, I should bring them right to the cross. Kill them right there. Don't let them go around festering inside of me, because one of these days they'll come out. And the sin is already there. We've already had James, I told you that when we started meditating on this letter. He's a master. This is all the fruit of Jewish wisdom now brought up to the level of the gospel. The rabbis thought about all that. I mean, they watched it. They saw it. And they said, you know, how do we teach about this? And in the book of Proverbs, we have so many sayings, right, about the power of speech and the danger of speech. Now, as I say, the part of the problem is not speech. It's the heart. It's the heart. And so he goes on to tell us, you see. And the images are powerful, right? He says, you know, you got a great big horse, put a bit in his mouth, you can lead him wherever you want. You got a great big ship, one little tiny rudder will move it wherever you want to go. Well, the tongue is like that. The tongue is like that. And now he's using it, you know, the part for the whole, you know. And so you see, the great fathers of the desert, who pondered this stuff quite a bit, you know, said, look, you have to learn to have custody of your heart. Now, this has to be done in a kind of a mature, calm way. People hear this, there goes another thought. Oh my gosh, another thought, another thought. Pretty soon they're crazy. You know, oh, how terrible I am. Well, all right, you're terrible. Okay, fine, now relax. You know, that's the whole purpose why we live by mercy. But now, watch them. And if you live a serious life of prayer, the Holy Spirit will say, look, watch that. Put that to death. And it's the very one you don't want to put to death. And you bring it to the Lord and you just say, Lord, put this to death. This is a potential forest fire. And that's our defense. And as our life goes on, if we're faithful to prayer, if we're faithful to this, put these thoughts to death. Because I promise you, and I don't have to promise you, you know yourself, you carry these things around in your head, in your heart, bingo, they'll come out. Just get a sympathetic ear. And, you know, and this is the way gossip starts. You make a remark, and you see, and the other one says, yeah, yeah, that's right. Ha, then you can make another one. The other person says, I don't want to hear that stuff. You're embarrassed, but at least you're saved a lot more sin. You could extend this, but we don't have time now, to the media. It's not just the television and the radio, it's the newspaper, it's the books, it's the... And can you see what we're doing to one another? I mean, the passions that are loose, the hatred, the ambition. I mean, look at this presidential circus. Look at it. Everybody is, you know, saying all the worst things they can find about somebody else, the more they want to put them out there. Well, you might want to wind up the ruler, but you wind up the ruler of a totally divided people because you divided them. Where is the person of restrained speech who has something intelligent to say and has the courage to live it out after they've said it? Let them be our leader. We've had in the past great statesmen, Adlai Stevenson, John Foster Dulles. We've had great statesmen in our history. You know, we've had some good presidents. But you see how out of control we are? And on every single thing that happens, over and over and over again, I thank God I don't have a television. But sometimes when I'm at the gym, I see it. And it's the silliest thing. I mean, the sports are okay, but the rest is so silly. You know, over and over, like, look, I got it, I got it, I got it, you know. Obama said this, or his pastor said this, or Hillary said this, or McCain said this, or I got it. You don't have to tell me 10 times. This degradation, and the effect is enormous. Huh? The effect, we've talked about the effect of interpersonal, how you can destroy a community this way. You can destroy a country this way. But the other effect of all this stuff, because we have these means of communication, they are dangerous. Dangerous. People are becoming so fragmented because of the power of these things. Oh, listen to that one, and then listen to that one, and then the way they present, you know, even a tragedy has to be presented in a way that'll keep you watching until you get to the commercial. And this is people suffering. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to say, my God, look what's happened in China. Okay, folks, everybody, you're Buddhists, Hindus, Catholics, Protestants, wherever you are, we're going to take 30 seconds of silence while you pray for these people. Wouldn't that be nice? So what happens? People, the terror, the wars, the earthquakes, the cyclones, the murders, and then the arguments and the recuperation, pretty soon people are fragmented. I look at the youth sometimes, who are fragmented not only by that, but by their dear teachers and all the stuff they get themselves into. And it looks like they look like a kaleidoscope. It's just all these pieces floating around inside of them. The mind, the memory, the drives, the emotions, whatever. They're all just floating around in there. There's no order, there's no... And this is why then they are so easily swept away by sexual temptation, by drugs, by suicide. Do you have any idea how many of these mass murders that take place at school, how many of them are demonically inspired? These kids have been in a cult, maybe just on the internet, but they've been there. What James says here, you see, is the awesome responsibility we have to communicate the truth and to respect one another's weakness, and don't lay all our problems on everybody and all our angers and resentments, because we're spreading a fire. But have a wise counselor where you can go and say, I'm having terrible difficulty with this and this and this, and get prayed with. And if you've sinned, get absolved. But surely we have to be, you know, with the grace of the Eucharist every day, goes through into the same mouth from which all this stuff can come out. It's the multiplication of words in our culture has become an epidemic. And then the problem, nobody takes any of them seriously. They make the impact on your emotions and tear you apart, but nobody believes them. And so, the Bible, the Christian preacher, that's one more thing out there. How does it pull its truth? Only by the example of somebody who lives it.